That is powerful. You know what's so funny about it? Oh, we're ready? Oh, okay. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I want to say good morning to each and every one of you. And I want to welcome you to Only Believe Ministries Christian Center right here in Kenton, Ohio. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I tell you what, I'm excited that we are off and started in a brand new year and that God is with each and every one of us. I want to remind you that each and every one of you, your time and your life plan of when you would be born was set in concrete by God, and that He has a full expectation of the potential of who you are in the timing of when He gave you birth. And you are here today, not by accident. This is the timing of God for you to be living, and this is the time for you to maximize your potential with your Lord. Amen? So this morning, we're just going to get together, and we're just going to worship God, and we're just going to share some things today that I believe God is going to touch our heart. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Stand on your feet with us this morning.
Holy Spirit, take my hand now, lead me out in the living waters. You're the wellspring, you're stirring, you're the life for your sons and daughters. Eyes are open to the unseen, and my faith is rising within me. Bless the Lord now, sing it out loud, come and give the Lord His glory. You're calling me deep.
There is freedom in the water.
are so good. We worship you this morning. This morning. Day, oh, you
No shadow you won't light up, mountain you
won't climb up coming after me. Come on, he's pursuing you this morning. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow, there's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow, there's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Gives it freely today. I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still, you give your. Sing that again. I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. But still, you give yourself away. All the overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God.
God loves you. Get how there's nothing that you can do that will not make God love you. And I've heard people say, boy, sends people to hell. No, people's actions determine what judgment falls upon them. The judgment has been named. The word has been written. There's only one way to heaven. That's through Jesus. And no sin winner into the kingdom of God. Amen? So that doesn't, a person not choosing God doesn't make him not love them. He loves them. If there's anything that you walk away with today, it's that no matter what, God loves me and he sent his son for me so that I could have a chance, because it is your choice, so that I could have a chance to live with him in eternity, so that a veil that separated God and man would be broken, would be torn in half, so that we could go before the throne room of God and get before his face, he and I. No longer did a blood sacrifice need to be made for me. That's how much he loves you. Understand that his love is so big, you can't run away from it. You can't hide from it. There's nothing you can do. He's going to come after you until he can't come after you anymore. He's not going to stop pursuing you. Somebody needs to hear that. Somebody has a condemnation on them that doesn't belong on you. God did not send his son Jesus to the cross to die for your sins so that you can hold them for the rest of your life. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen.
Hallelujah. In the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. To fight for me.
Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my prayer.
Hallelujah. Our King is alive. Amen. And I thank God that He is the one that works within our life. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Amen. Lord is good.
All the time.
All the time He is good.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we got...
Oh, yeah.
Marriage conference. XO Marriage Conference starts this Friday night. We are having a meal beforehand, so
yes,
we invite you out.
Yes, at 6:30.
Today's the last day to sign up for that, so we do need you to sign up so we know how many people are coming, how many people to cook for. And Phil's Valentine's Day gets to be spent with me in the kitchen cooking.
Amen. Praise the name of the
Lord.
And
we're pretty good cooks, I just want to tell you.
And that sounds like a good Valentine's Day to me. Anytime I get to spend with you, babe, it's well worth it. Woo.
Amen. Woo.
Now, Philip.
Now, you have to understand that our son is not married, and now you know why he's not married. Because I heard the announcements that he gave, and it's that, men, if you want to save money, just come and eat a free meal. Yep, he's single. Yep, he's not married.
Amen.
Amen. Bless his heart. That is not truth. Yes, you can come get a free meal, but that does not mean you be cheap with your date. Amen.
Yes. And that's not the motivation of why you're coming.
Oh,
either.
My goodness.
That's not the motivation of why you're coming.
I have to say that I did raise him to be frugal, so that's my fault.
Yes, that's definitely your fault.
But we got to get some training in there somehow. Amen. That's hard.
I would try to teach him by like buying flowers, and Regina would say, honey, don't waste money on flowers. They're just going to die. If you want to do anything, get your money and buy me something.
I would tell him, every time you want to buy flowers, put that in an account. Save that money up and buy something for me. That if that's what your heart is, buy something that's going to last, right?
Amen.
That's what I think. Yeah, buy me a ring or something that's going to last that I got till I die and can pass on to my grandbaby.
Hallelujah. There's wisdom for you. Praise God. Hallelujah.
We don't buy stuff for Valentine's.
We don't.
I don't know where Thanksgiving just came from.
Amen.
Woo. Already moving on.
Yeah.
So you're not going to buy me something for Valentine's Day?
No. Love you.
I thought you were. But I will tell you this, that we do believe in Valentine's, so to speak.
Absolutely.
In that you should fortify your relationship throughout the year.
Amen.
It shouldn't just be once a time at Valentine's that you do something. Make it an effort on an ongoing basis to do something for your spouse and to make sure that your love is both demonstrated in words and in deeds. Amen.
Amen. If your kids still live with you at home, go talk with somebody whose kids left us and abandoned us and just walked out of our house and never came back.
Yes.
Might be just still a little bitter
about it.
But he barely comes back. He's not even up here. I'd be giving him the stare down. But honestly, you have to maintain and keep.
Amen.
The love and the connection that God gave you in the first place.
Yes, amen.
And it's good. You do have to take care of your children. Mm. You do have to put energy into your children.
But one day.
But you cannot forsake this right here and not save any energy for this and be spending time with your spouse. So we just encourage you to take this time and just love one another.
Amen. We just had a great time on vacation and then celebrate my birthday. Praise God.
Yesterday was his birthday. Time. Amen. I think, amen. Happy birthday, Pastor Phil. He's getting younger every day. And that's what he said the first
service. Getting younger every year.
And Brother Carol went like this. No, you ain't.
Hey.
No, he didn't say that.
Because I got a little gray going on doesn't mean I'm getting younger every year. Praise God.
All right, so the XO Marriage Conference will start at, we'll eat at 6:30, and then it'll start at 8 on Friday, and then Saturday at 10 o'clock in the morning. So no food on Saturday, so come with your coffee, whatever you want on Saturday. Mm-hmm. But we will have a meal on Friday night, and then the teens get together is next Sunday at 5:30 right here at the church. And I encourage you, listen, especially in today's time, your teens need a connection with other God-fearing teens.
Amen.
They need to have a connection with somebody that's going to teach them the word. So they do need a connection, and they do need to get in a group, and they need to talk to one another so that when stuff comes up and they're facing issues and thoughts are running through their mind, they're not talking to a kid that doesn't understand who God is and doesn't understand what God's made you to be. The advice you want somebody to give your teenager is what God says in his word.
Amen.
Amen. And you, iron sharpens iron.
Amen.
So you need, teenagers, I'm telling you, you need people in your life that are God-fearing people that will tell you the truth and love.
Amen.
Amen. The truth doesn't always feel good.
You know, that's why the Lord brings us together as a church and as a family of faith, is because if you just stay out there in the world, you're going to become vulnerable to all that's out there. But when you get to join together in fellowship with people and stir your faith and be stirred and have people, you know, especially for teens at school that they can go to and rely on and pray for each other, let me tell you something, it gives us strength to make it on a day-to-day basis. So we need that kind of thing.
And we should be praying for our teens.
Amen. Absolutely.
On a regular basis.
Yes,
amen.
We should.
And then what else do we got? I don't know that I have anything else.
Oh, you wanted to do a little update on the building.
Oh, we went out and kind of just drove by it today because we were running a little bit late. But then we're looking and we're seeing, wait a minute, there's lights on the side of this building. There's like units sitting outside the building. So we had to do a quick turnaround. And drive around the building as much as we could get to see what all on the outside, because we've been looking at the inside, right, and seeing what's done. So it's slowly, the progress is coming. Somebody asked me.
And it looks like they got like 95% of the drywall all hung and in the place it's supposed to be.
Well, I think 100% of the drywall was hung.
Yeah, so it's all hung.
I think
and
it's just a matter of.
Needs to be, and now they're just mudding and finishing
and
out
all that stuff.
And doing that so it can be ready for painting.
And now. No, I was just going to say, in our date, we don't really have a solid date right now because it's a domino effect. When this crew gets done with what they're doing, then this crew can come in and do what they need to do. Then this crew can come in and get done what they need to do. So as long as the crews continue and are allowed to work and without interruption and stuff, then we should get in there sooner. If not, then we're not going to get in there until later. But we've been facing that this whole time. So
just like this, for example, right before we went on vacation, they said, hey, they're probably going to be painting on the 10th of February.
Tomorrow.
And while we were on vacation, it changed and said, hey, they're probably going to be painting closer to March 1st. So that's why we are very hesitant to try to lay out any kind of real deadline dates. But we're
looking
for
April. Are we really even pressed about it? No.
No.
God's given us a building that we get to worship in now that he has put his presence in, and that's what's important. And when it's time to go, we'll go. Amen?
You know, and I want to say this. I said this in the first service, and I said we are excited, and we can all be excited about the building coming. But here's what I want to challenge you with. Whether we're in that building or not, where are we at spiritually? Because we need to be growing, and we need to be making sure that just getting in that building is not going to change our spiritual lives. What changes us spiritually is, do we dig into God? Are we praying? Are we studying? Are we moving with God right now where we're at? Because I will tell you that it's great, and I want to get in there, and I'm excited about getting in there, but that's not what's going to change us and develop us. What's going to change us and develop us is, what are we doing, and who are we becoming even right now in the Lord? Amen? So let's make sure that we stay on track with that, and that's what our heart really is all about. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we're going to go ahead and let the children dismiss and go to their class. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. And then we're going to look right here in the Bible. I want to take just a few minutes, and I want to look at our giving offering today. And a statement I want to make to you in Luke chapter 6, it says in verse 36, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. I do want to take just a few minutes to tell you something about giving. This should be your nature. And not just in terms of finances. If you look over in Matthew 23:23, you would see that the Lord gives us the same charge. He says, hey, you should have given your tithes and offerings, but don't let go of the weightier things of the law, like judgment and mercy and those types of things. So these things are gathered together in this way, that you should be like your father's nature. You are a giver. And not just in the realms of finances, but let me tell you something. If there's a day where mercy is going to be given, guess what? You should be found giving mercy. If there is a day where grace is going to be given, guess what? You should be found as one of those that are giving great grace. And when an act of kindness or when something can come forth and when love is to be given, guess what? These are things that you should be doing in great abundance, because the Bible says that what we give, it's going to be returned back to us. Amen? And just like this, I want you to understand something. What you sow is really what you reap. And what we need to understand here is that why did God say that men will give unto you? Why would mankind give unto you? I'll tell you why. Because mankind is supposed to be on this journey together, and you should never be an island unto yourself. Amen. You should never be found to be a person that's alone and just focused on yourself. You should always be focused on others, and your love nature out of you should be developing something whereby which God can reach your life to touch someone else's life. Amen? Amen? As we give and as we're merciful and as we reflect these things, I'm telling you that God expects your life to be open for other people to receive from. Amen? So let's make sure that we are givers. And we know this, that when it comes to giving and tithes and offerings, we do know that the Bible says that God will rebuke the devourer on our behalf. Amen? That the Lord is our merciful, our covering, and not only is he our covering, but he says, not only will I rebuke the devourer in your life, but I will protect your seed sown both within you as a person and what you put your hands to do. God will bless it. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, right now, we take a few minutes, Father, and we worship you with our tithes and offerings, God. Father, this is an opportunity for us to release our faith. This is an opportunity for us to give. And Father, to open up this arena to say, God, I trust you. Not only do I trust you, but I have an expectation that your provision, God, I open this up and I trust you to say that I'm not my own provider, God, but I trust you to provide for me in everything and every aspect of my life. And Lord, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Bring your tithes and offerings in the front.
I'm gonna sing in the middle of a storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. And death is defeated.
Day, isn't it? Amen. And I don't know why, but I'm just feeling a little extra joyful today, and God is good to us. Amen. I want you to know that he's good to us all the time. And today, I want to preach to you out of the Word of God, and I'm going to talk to you about dry seasons and the fact that sometimes in our walk, we don't always feel like we can sense God or feel God. And I want to just encourage you today, because I want you to know that in those times when you are going through battles and when you're going through dry seasons and when you've had moments of difficulty, I want to say that there have been times where you might say, where are you? And I tell you what, when you make those statements to God, understand this, where you are is where he is. And I need you to understand that even in the times where you are feeling withdrawn or by yourself, that you're not by yourself, because God has been there with you all the time. I want to say something out of Mark chapter 13, 37. It says, what say I unto you? The Lord is speaking. He says, I say unto you all, watch. And what I really like about this scripture is that once the Lord says, I say to you all, this is what we know, that if God has spoken a word at any time in the Word of God, if he has spoken it to one person, remember, he's no respecter of persons, amen? When he says that whosoever calleth on him shall be saved, what this lets us know is that if God has ever spoken anything to anyone, he's speaking to us, amen? I want you to know something, that sometimes you're going to go through stretches where you feel like, can I even hear God? But I want you to know that during that time, that is when you must use your faith, you must stay pressed in, and you must understand that God is with you during those times. Listen to me. First of all, I want you to know something, that we can never forget that while we're in this life and while we're seeking God, we do have something called the adversary, amen? And I want you to know that Satan is constantly going to be buffeting you at times, especially during those quiet times. Why is that? Because typically, when you come in through a season of testing and where you have to press in for God, it's because you've already pressed in. See, here's what I want you to know. Typically, a quiet or a season of attack or a season of difficulty comes because of the very reason that you've already made a decision that you're seeking God. Amen? I tell you what, it's when you say, God, I want more, or God, I'm going to overcome my fears, or I need to know more about the Lord. Listen to me. I know each and every one of you are much stronger today than you were in the past. And I will tell you that in 2019, I heard people coming to me, letting me know that they were having challenges and they were having difficulties. And I will tell you that part of the reason why difficulty comes is because you are pressing in. Amen? Listen, if you were not pressing in, if you were not trying to do anything with your life, I'm telling you that oftentimes there is no challenge, but it's when you make the decision that I'm going to go farther with God, I'm going to discover more of my purpose, or I'm going to commit more to the Lord, is when challenge will come your way. Amen? And it's during that time that we have to remember without a doubt that God is with us. I want to remind each and every one of us that there's something here that I want you to grab a hold of, because in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, it says that we should be not slothful. Be ye not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Listen, I want to remind each and every one of you that every time you have read about someone in the Bible, and remember, these are not just made up stories. These are historical, documented lives that are in the Bible. And I want you to know something, that every time you read someone's story in the Bible, you will not find a man or a woman that comes to the fullness of fulfilling their destiny without a season of challenge. You will find every one of them, whether you look at Joseph, who was a man of great favor, served God from the time of his youth. He went through a time of being in the prison. If you will look at anyone in the Bible that's achieved anything or been something for God, you will see that, yes, they came to blessing, but you also see that it took faith and patience for them to come through some of the seasons of life. I want to remind you of a man by the name of King David. King David is the man who we know overthrew a lion and a bear, and then he came up against Goliath and defeated him. But it did not matter that even though King David saw those great victories, also, I want to remind you that there was a moment where King David had a time where even though he defeated all of those enemies, never forget that King David had a moment where his life was so restricted and things were coming against him. Even his own people were thinking about stoning him, that David went before the Lord and he said, Lord, shall I pursue? I want to remind you that why did King David say that? It was certainly not because King David heard God's voice and was feeling strong and feeling like he was victorious. No, no, no. It said in those chapters and in those scriptures, right before King David made that statement, I want you to know that King David and his men wept to the point of they had no more tears. So why was King David asking this question? Because he had a moment like we have sometimes. He couldn't hear anything. He didn't know anything. He felt alone. He felt like in this moment he was by himself. And he said, Lord, shall I pursue? And I will tell you that what King David found out is exactly what we will find out in our dark moment if we will give God that room in our life. What King David found out was at a time where he felt he was alone, at a time where he felt he was all by himself, God was right there. I want to remind you that in those moments where you believe that you are being weak and by yourself and God's not hearing, if you will speak to God, you will find out he's been there with you the whole time. Because King David said, Lord, shall I pursue? And God said, David, not only shall you pursue, but you will pursue, you will overtake, and you will recover all. See, God had a word for David in his silent season, but David had to look towards the place which cometh his salvation. See, I want you to know something, that one of the best things you can do in your moment of quiet and when you don't know what's going on is reach towards God. Amen? Remember, I just told you that the Lord said in Mark 13, at the end of Mark 13, chapter 37, what I say to you, I say to all. And one thing I love about God is that he didn't ask us for a bunch of qualifications, Nate. The Lord is not looking at your hair color. He's not looking at your skin color. He's not looking at whether you're tall or short. He's not looking for you to be perfect. No, no, no. God is looking for you to be who you are and to know that you can come to him. I tell you what, God is not looking for someone to be perfect. He's just looking for someone to have right intentions within their heart. Amen? I want you to know something, that sometimes going through the quiet seasons and the difficulties of life, you'll be questioning yourself. Am I doing something wrong? Is God not with me? Am I in sin? Am I this and this? No, listen, you are just having one of those moments where you have to walk by faith. Listen, all you have to be is someone in pursuit of God with overall right intentions of wanting to see God in your life, and God is working with you and working for you and wants to talk with you in the middle of your situations. Amen? I just want us to remember that every great person comes to these moments where things may be difficult for just a season, but God is with them. Amen? I want to go and I want to read something to you in the scripture that should be very comforting for you because it reflects to us what we need to know in our seasons of quietness. You know, sometimes we forget. Sometimes we forget some of the most profound things that are in the Word of God. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, it says this, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen. Unto the glory of God by us. I want you to know something, that the promises of God to every believer are yes and amen. And I want you to know that that word amen means absolutely, it shall be done on our behalf. Amen. And every one of us needs to remember that God has made these promises. And I love the very next verse because it says, now he which establishes us with you in Christ and have anointed us is God. Wow. When we start to think about these things, I want you to know something, that you have it on the highest power. You have it on the highest authority. And it should be established within you to know that these promises have come from God. And I want to remind you that who is the Lord? He's your rock. He's your salvation. He's the one that even when storms beat heavily against your life, if you stay founded on the rock Christ Jesus, storms can come, winds can blow, things can happen, but you will not be shaken. Amen? And God is with each and every one of us. He establishes us. And the Bible says, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Do you know that God, upon your salvation, has sealed you into the kingdom? You know, when it says that he gives an earnest of his Spirit, I want you to know that that means that he makes a down payment. An earnest payment is like a commitment to buy a house. Amen? And it says that once that commitment is made, it guarantees that a purchase is going to come through. I want you to know something, that when you receive salvation, you have an absolute guarantee that God wants to bring you to a place of victory and to a place of outcome. Amen? And I really want you to understand that you need to be stirred within yourself to know this, that the Lord says this, Christ in me is the hope of glory. Amen? I want you to know something. That when the Lord saved you, he didn't keep a distance between you and him. I want you to know that the very blood of Jesus was shed so that there'd be no distance between you and God. And I'm telling you that when the Lord resides within you, then let me tell you something. You need to remember how powerful you are. You need to remember that you have overcoming power within you. And also, you need to be careful about what you say. I want you to know, you need to be careful about what's coming out of your mouth, because when you're speaking, you're not speaking by yourself. Remember, the Bible says that when the Lord brings you into certain places, the Bible says that it won't be you speaking, but the Holy Ghost will help you and give you what needs to be said. Listen, when you have a quiet season, when it's been dry, I tell you what, that's the perfect time for you to start asking God the words that need to be said and coming out of your mouth. And I tell you what, when you are going through a dry season and when you have fears and when you have worries, that is a time for you to remember what spirit you are of. Remember, the Bible says that I do not have a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And what you need to do during that time is, I tell you what, begin to praise God in the middle of your adversity. Begin to praise God in the middle of your quiet time. Continue and begin to pursue God. Lord, I praise you now that all of my financial needs are met, God. I praise you now that my health is restored. Father, I thank you that this endeavor I began believing you for, this new job, this house building, this project that I've began believing you for, God, I thank you that it's finished in your name. I thank you, Lord, that you have brought in the resources. I thank you, God, that you have given me wisdom to handle the situations that come up during this process. I'm telling you that the way to break a dry season is begin to confess and believe and attach yourself to God. Remember, the Bible is clear that the Lord says, seek me and I will be found. Amen? That's one of the promises I love about God, is three things here. Number one, he says, Chad, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, in life, we have been disappointed by mankind. Amen? There's been times where people have said something, even if they attempted to do something, sometimes it falls short as to what they can do. But what I really love about God is he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And if you seek me, I will be found. Without fail, the dry season you're in is going to end with a finding of God. The dry season that's trying to bring you down, it's going to stop at your feet and you're going to find God. Just like King David. King David found the Lord when he said, Lord, I'm coming to you. And he started remembering those things that God had done. And he started coming towards God. And when he did, without fail, God answered him. I want to read something else to you. And I'm going to go to 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to begin to read in verse 2. And it says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. You know, one of the biggest reasons why it's so important to seek God during a quiet time is because when you start reading the scriptures, you're going to increase your knowledge of God. And as you do, the Bible says grace and peace will be multiplied unto you. You know, if you are beginning your relationship with God, or if you've been at it a while, there should come some things that you can look back on and say, hey, if I had heard this before, or if this was said to me when I was a new Christian, it would have caused me to be shaken. But because I have studied and because I know the nature of God now, I tell you what, there's peace and there is grace upon me even when I face challenge. I will tell you that there are some things that I have to experience dealing with situations now that I'm telling you, if that had come upon me 10, 15, 20 years ago before I really knew God the way I knew him today, it would cause me to shake in my shoes and to be distraught. But because I have allowed his grace and peace to be multiplied to me as I study his word and as I believe in him, I'm telling you that there comes a time where things just don't challenge you like they would have before. See, I want you to be pressing into God because that is what's going to be your saving grace. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. I want you to know something, that you should have a great confidence in God touching your life because he says that by his divine power, he's already given us all things through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. I want you to know that there's a divine power of God that is working in your life. His grace, his mercy is upon you, and he's going to give to you all things that pertain unto life and godliness, and we need to have a confidence in God and what he's doing for us and on our behalf. You know, one reason why we need to make sure that we believe in the promises of God and that we don't pick and choose them is because if we don't believe in them, how would we know what God would really do in our life? Amen? We believe in his promises because his promises is what he has declared he will constantly do and be a part of when it comes to our life. And what also we can have a confidence in is that when we realize how much God lives in us, we can have a confidence that we can do all things. Do we all do all things in our own strength? Absolutely not. Our confidence is that we do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen? It is the fact that God is coming and working on our behalf. That is what we have a confidence in. And that is what we know will be the very thing that brings us out. You know what I want you to know? God's promise is always bigger than the problem. Ooh, I'm going to say that again. God's promise is always bigger than our problem. And if we will really make sure that we lean into God's promise, we will see God come into every situation and turn it around and change it and make it different than what it was before. Amen? Listen, every one of us are going to have challenges and every one of us are going to go through some things that are going to really cause us to be challenged, to question some things at times, to maybe be fearful at times. But that is when we need to turn ourselves back to the Word of God and back to who God has endeavored and told us he was, because in that we will find the peace of God to get through the difficulty. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. I want you to turn with me to the book of Matthew. I want to turn to Matthew chapter 6, and I just want to read for a little bit some things here that it says in Matthew chapter 6. It says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. You know, I think this is very interesting for us that the Lord challenges us in these very basic things. Because Christians, I want you to know something, that sometimes if we are so concerned about day-to-day things, you know, we will never put our faith out there to believe God for anything supernatural. If all we do is worry about the little things and worry about our eating and our paying of our bills, and you know what? If we really consider, God has been faithful to us as Christians. And I don't want to put this out there in a wrong way, but I do want to say it this way, especially for those Christians who have become tithers and givers because they believe the promise of God. I'm serious. I'm not just saying this in some way to be mean or anything. I'm telling you the truth, that tithing and believing Christians who have learned how to give faithfully has seen God eradicate debt, has eradicated fear, and has seen God constantly faithful in these arenas. I tell you, there was a time years ago when Regina and I were so broke that I did worry about if I could buy me a Big Mac on Friday. But I tell you what, anymore, the last thing I'm worrying about is whether I'm going to be eating today or tomorrow, because God has been so faithful. Amen? And the Bible says here, don't worry about what you shall eat or what you shall drink. Listen to what he said. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? See, this is where I want any of you who have been challenged in your dreams recently, or any of you have been challenged in your spiritual endeavors, this is what I really want you to rest in, because God puts it real clear that our life was always meant to be more than just worrying about what we were eating and drinking. Our life was meant for purpose. Our life is meant to carry the gospel. Our life is meant to be involved in endeavors that are beyond ourselves and beyond the day-to-day things of life. It says here, that behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Do you know that if you spend your day worrying and stressing, that it's not going to bring any productive outcome to your life? And I want you to understand something, that God has an expectation that you are not so worried and so stressed that you get caught up in the day-to-day things, because once you get caught up in the day-to-day things, it will mess up your ability to see the profound things that God would love to bring towards your life. It says here that, why take ye thought for a remnant? Oh, that's what I just got done reading. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? See, here's what I want you to know, that I spent some time when I was first saved in a religion that taught me that if we were more than poor, we were in sin. And I tell you what, the truth is, God doesn't want a Christian poor, because if you're poor, you can hardly even think about helping someone else. Amen? I remember that I had some time in a past religion that almost taught us and tried to teach us that there was nothing good on this earth, and that we shouldn't believe for anything on this earth. We should only wait till we get to heaven to experience anything good. But you know, that's not what your Father has said. In Mark chapter 10, verse 28 through 30, he says that, listen, now on this earth I will give you 100-fold, and in the life to come, eternal life. Do you know that God has an expectation of you being successful here on the earth and an expectation of you being successful when you get to heaven? Listen, anything that you achieve on this earth is not going to limit what God's going to do for you in life. In fact, the Lord says that not only does he want you successful here, but he has a whole nother life for us to live after this. You know, I'm probably going to do a series here on heaven because I want you to understand something. That this is another thing I don't ever want you to do. That just because you're going through a season of difficulty, I would never want to see you lose hope, give up, because something not happening here disappointed you so much that you would forego holding on until you get to heaven. Amen? Listen, there's nothing that you're going to experience in this life. In fact, the Bible says, don't let the light afflictions of this world that are but for a moment keep you from the greater glory that's on the other side. Amen? So we got to make sure that as Christians, even if we do go through a challenging season, that we never lose hope in God, not just in this life we live, but all eternity, because we have heaven right out in front of us in the years to come. The Bible says here that therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. You know, I understand that we have poverty. I understand that certain nations have more poverty than we do. But I'll also tell you this. I also understand that the majority of people that live on this earth have provision. And it amazes me that over the years, no matter what the population has been, and no matter what the fears of scientists have been, somehow God has created new ways for us to feed. Amen? And for us to clothe. The more and more people that have been coming, the more and more man comes up with witty inventions from the Lord to be able to feed people. Amen? I mean, before we used to plant every garden by hand, now we got these big combines with GPS that seem to be able to plant and harvest stuff. Amen? But with that being said, I want you to know something. That we want to make sure that we're not so concerned about little trivial things that we miss what God has for us in his kingdom. That's what the Bible says. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. And when these things are added unto us, we can go on into the greater things of the kingdom. We can believe God for people to be saved. We can believe God for great things to happen to our generations and to the things and the people that are around us. And I have another scripture here that I just want to put in your spirit this morning. And it's going to be very, very popular. It's going to be one that we probably, many of us know. But in Psalms 23, the first scripture there is, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, this morning I just want to challenge you a little bit, because sometimes I hear Christians say things that sounds religiously right, but really, scripturally, they're wrong. I've heard people say, oh, well, God's done so much for me, he don't need to do anything else. I've also heard people say, one time I had a young man say something to me that was strange. He said, oh, I just was praying this morning. I said, God, you know, if my family has to have sickness, just make me sick, not my wife and my kids. And I said, I said, so you want to become sick and then you can't provide for your home. I said, how about this? How about you just say, Lord, I thank you that the word says sickness and disease is not for us that believe. And how about you just believe that you're healthy, your children are healthy, and your spouse is healthy. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, you start talking about these things, and sometimes Christians will get stressed with you because their idea is that we're always going to have a need. We're always going to be at the low end. we're always going to have just barely anything happening. And what I want you to understand is that not what God wanted for you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord already told us, why are we just asking him for the general little needs that we have, what we should eat and drink? That is just the beginning of your faith. I want you in this year to be people that go beyond your needs and start asking God what you want. If you want salvation for your children, I don't care where they're living. I don't care what's been going on with them. If you want salvation for your children, I want you to believe God for it. I don't care what is happening. If you want something bigger, if God gives you a dream, I want you this year to be believing God that what you want according to his will is good for you to have. Amen? I mean, the Bible is very clear. The Lord says that some of you have not because you ask not. And when you do ask, you ask something that's not really the will of God. See, like, no sickness on my family, but sickness on me. That's not the will of God. Why don't you ask for there to be no sickness on you or your family? Amen? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. See, I wonder if as Christians we've ever written something on our list that we just wanted. Write vacation on your list. God can bless you in that. Write having a nice house or a good job on your list. God can bless you with that. Write having a blessed marriage with no fights in it. God can bless you with that. Write long life and having the goodness and mercy of God follow you all the days of your life. Have you ever really grabbed a hold of that promise from God to say, God, I'm just going to believe you that for the rest of my days, I'm going to have goodness happen in my life. He says it's available to us. Mercy and goodness can follow us all the days of our life. Are we bold enough to ask God for more than just the need? Will we ask God for what we want as long as it's according to Scripture? Amen? Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just exalt you today, Father. Lord, we just lift you up and we declare your glory, God. Father, I pray that if any of us have been in a dry season, God, Lord, if any of us has been in a difficult place, that even right now, Father, you're opening doors, you're opening windows of blessing, Father. Lord, you're shutting doors that need to be shut and you're opening doors that need to be opened so that we can walk in your blessing, your purpose, and your will, God. Father, I pray that dry seasons, Father, seasons of feeling alone, would come to an end and that you would cause your people to flourish, Father God. Lord, now I declare your glory over each and every one of us, God. I declare your goodness over us, Father. And Lord, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hey, I'll be up here to pray for people.